Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy and remain the key to fueling our nation's growth. Our very own Mark Haney is on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown we love. He is the ultimate small business coach, sounding board, and storyteller. But to us, he's still good old Marky from down on the block. He is the entrepreneur next door. And this is the Mark Haney Show.
All right, all right, all right. This is the Mark Haney Show. We are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. We are entrepreneurs, helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And I'm here with my main man, Marcus Haney. Let's start the conversation as usual. Are you hanging or banging today, buddy?
Well, I'm a little tired from banging so hard yesterday at an event, so here I am recovering, hanging.
Trade show?
I was at a trade show at the Department of Public Health.
So you were at your very best opportunity. What were you doing at the Department of Public Health?
I was selling stuff. And meeting people, talking. That's all I'm really good at the end of the day.
What a concept. An entrepreneur out making some deals, making some sales. So how did it go?
It went well. I had a lot of traction and looking forward to doing some business with those folks.
Well, we are, as our listenership knows, we're all about entrepreneurs helping people to succeed, and so often part of that journey is understanding what other people are doing. So today we're going to be sharing some stories, as usual, some success stories, stories of winning, stories of overcoming those obstacles. One of the obstacles I am faced with, Marcus, it's really held me back over the years, and I think it probably holds me back every day. It's chasing shiny objects. I think as entrepreneurs, we see a shiny objects and we're like, go get it. And you can only focus on so many things at a time if you're going to be successful. Am I right?
I think you passed that down the bloodline a little bit. Having that big why, I think, is really how you keep that in focus, right? Of understanding of what you're doing every single day for that overarching purpose, I think, is the way to overcome that a little bit.
Okay, so if you've got your purpose, your why in the front of your mind, your behavior should have a dotted line right back to those actions, your behaviors, your decisions that you do every day.
Yeah, all the way from macro to micro, right? I think that Gary Vaynerchuk says it best. I think he says clouds and dirt, right? Wow. So you got to have to big dream, but be able to come back and still dig that trench like I had to do in the Marine Corps a bunch of times.
So how's that working out for you? You're building this business. You're the Marine entrepreneur, right? You're a Marine, former Marine. I guess that never goes out of style,
absolutely,
right? You're
not
a Marine, and you're building a small business. So what is your purpose? Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah.
How does it keep you on track?
Ultimately, my why is to help as many veteran entrepreneurs or transitioning veterans have a successful mission 2.0 as they transition out of the military. There's a statistic out there that 22 veterans a day commit suicide, and it's my mission to help alleviate that as much as possible. And the way I'm going about doing that is building a business to be able to help fund a nonprofit organization called the Battle for Veterans to create a veteran university type thing in order to help transitioning veterans start that mission 2.0. And if I can have my little piece of the pie of helping them get back, that's why I'm going to leave this place better than I found it. So
building a business, supporting the community, supporting the guys that stood by you while you were battling. So people ask me all the time, you know, Mark, you've got all these businesses. I think we're up to a couple of dozen businesses I'm invested in or whatever I'm doing with these businesses. And, you know, it's like, how do you do that? You've got all the charitable organizations that we're working on. You got all these businesses. How do you manage it all? And I always tell them, you know what? I don't micromanage, right? You surround yourself with the right people. I don't micromanage. I do not play golf. I don't cheat on my wife. So I've got a lot more time than most people. So, but it's all about our purpose, right? Focus is back to our family, our friends, and this community that we love. And that's what today's show is all about. We're going to be talking about drawing that line between our why back to what we do every day. And maybe that can keep us from chasing too many shiny objects. So coming up in the show, we have, well, you know what? I'm going to bring up something that happened to me. I was just coming back from Vegas. I was at the Entrepreneurs Organization President's Council in Vegas.
Whoop, whoop.
Having a little training for how to be president of EO. And I'm coming back, and I have my marquee media moment. It's the moment that kind of seems like everywhere I go, somebody's recognizing me. So here I am. I'm in the airport getting in line to come back from Vegas, and I see a competitor of mine. He's on a sister radio show. He's got a real estate show. He's actually kind of a buddy that I don't know very well. Anyway, he's got got now he's like up to almost like 3,000 agents. So we decide, and he's like, "Hey, Mark, how you doing?" He sees me in the bathroom. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on, man?" So he's like, "Hey, I hear you're blowing up out there." I'm like, "Yeah, it's going okay." But I look at you, 3,000 agents. And so we're kind of arguing back and forth, and we get into line, and he's like, "Well, you know, yeah, we've got like 70 agents or something." He's got like almost 3,000. He's in Vegas speaking on real estate. And then he ends up in front of me in the Southwest line. He's at number 41, and I'm at 42. And we're arguing in line. He's ahead of me in line. He's going, and I'm going, "Well, you got the agents and all that." He's like, "Yeah, but you got the billboards, man." And so some other people in line who kind of recognize both of us go, "I think the guy with the billboards got you." Yeah, Haney's got you.
All right.
Time, so
thank you, Marquee.
Thank you, Marquee Media, getting recognized in line at the airport and winning a little argument with my buddy Brent.
Did he let you cut in front of him?
No, he didn't. He did not. He didn't even let me sit by him. Coming up in the show, we are going to have Michael Wagoner. He is the man behind Marquee Media. He's a co-founder, partner, man who is helping me to get a little bit known and helping me to reach my purpose. He's coming up later in the show. But in the middle of the show, we're going to have Ethan Wilson. This is an ironic story. You got to stick around to hear this story of how I met this guy, Ethan Wilson. He's an entrepreneur. He's a go-karting national champion. He's a race car driver. And he's a little closer than what you might think to me. But coming up after the break, we will meet Danielle Casey. She's helping ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. She is the new executive VP at GSAG. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneur's Bank. I am the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the place where our crazy dreams seem just a little less crazy. Mark Haney is our chief dreaming officer. He knows the right people, the right tactics, and the right philosophies to win. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. I am now joined by Danielle Casey. She's the executive VP at GSAC. How you doing, Danielle?
I'm doing pretty good, Mark. I'm drinking from a fire hose. It's been about 2 weeks on the ground here.
Wow, 2 weeks in Sacramento. Let's get to know you and what brought you here to Sacramento.
So I have known the notorious Barry Broom for a long time throughout my economic development career. Okay. And I ran into Barry last fall at a conference, and he pulled me in aside and he said, "You have no idea all the amazing things going," it sounded like you, "going on in Sacramento and what's happening at Greater Sacramento Economic Council." And we sat down and talked and then continued our discussions over a series of months talking about what it would look like to actually work together, because we had been colleagues in the past. And I'll tell you, his inspirational story about what Greater Sacramento is doing, what the community is pulling together to make happen, really blew me away. And then coming to visit Sacramento on the ground several times throughout the spring, I was like, this is a community I need to get involved in.
The notoriously awesome Barry Broom, my mate Addy. You know, he was on the show one time, and I said, "Barry, let's talk about your leadership style. How would you describe it?" He said, "All out, all in, face down in the blood." Now, you're attracted to that kind of thing, obviously. Okay, what are you two doing here in Sacramento? What is GSAC all about?
Well, that's something I'm learning about. But what I can tell you is, being in a community outside of Sacramento and looking in, people, and Barry will say this, people around the country have really thought that Sacramento's by LA. They have no framework for where it's at or what's going on, and they haven't seen it as an economic development player on a regional scale. That is changing. I'm seeing that reputation change nationally from an economic development perspective in the business community, with C-suite executives, with site selectors and other decision makers from a business standpoint. And that's because this regional play is so critical. Bringing communities together to think bigger as a collective, and also changing that brand and really getting out and telling the story. There's a huge story. There's amazing things happening from a university side to, you know, working on true action plans and strategies to get us to the next level in economic development.
Well, how do you think Sacramento is known? I mean, we're beginning to get known. You're seeing that. But what was your impression Depression before Barry moved here, or maybe even prior to that. So thinking about how most people view the Sacramento region.
Sleepy government town. Mm-hmm. Very government heavy. And so coming in and seeing what's going on in the downtown area, looking at all of the very big game-changing opportunities for development in all of the communities in the region. So I'm very excited. I'm going to go out and tour every single community that is a member of Greater Sacramento and get to know the area, because I think, you know, the best way to do it is on the ground and hearing each one of their stories.
How would you say that you were in the Phoenix area before, right?
Correct.
How would you compare our opportunity to what's happened in Phoenix?
Well, I think the big thing that's going on here, and there's some good models in Phoenix, but again, every region is different. Looking at the university systems, seeing what's going on with, you know, now having a downtown office with Sac State. I got to join that celebration this week.
Nice.
Super exciting, great energy. But seeing those investments and all of the plans that are in the pipeline for things like Aggie Square, this can be truly game changing, because every corporate decision I'm seeing nationally is driven by talent, access to talent, cost of talent, and being a location of choice for that talent is going to drive a location of choice for companies, and us being the California option, all of that workforce development is going to play in together beautifully, and I think it's going to position us to be at the forefront on a national scale long term.
Well, let's get to know Danielle Casey personally. Who, tell us about, how did you grow up, and you know, what's your background prior to prior to getting in this economic development stuff?
Right, I'm an Air Force brat.
Okay.
So any other branches here, just forgive me. But I've lived from Roa for various reasons, from Rhode Island now to California, about 8 different states. So I consider myself just a child of the
wow.
You know, the mainland U.S. And so it's been a wild ride. I think I can parachute into any community. It makes you very resilient. It makes you also appreciate the culture of every community that you're in, and allow you to integrate. So that's my personal background. My economic development background in the greater Phoenix area was first with a more rural community that was a startup organization. We took it from 5,000 to about 50,000 residents in 8 years, and I had the chance to oversee building a city hall, creating a fire and police department from the ground up. I issued the first press release for that city government ever. And then going to the city of Scottsdale that was dealing with, you know, not greenfield development and infrastructure like that community, but a community that had 20% of the corporate headquarters and regional operations, really a huge amount of C-suites, and we're dealing with Fortune 100s very frequently in that community. It was 5% of the metro population, but 20% of the corporate headquarters operations. So gives me a little bit of a diverse experience.
About diverse experience. So we were talking earlier in the show about Marcus and I liking to chase shiny objects. Not everybody is that way, but I find that when I'm talking to entrepreneurial people, we tend to be that way. Are you that type of person? Are you somebody who can really maintain a focus? And if so, how do you do it?
I think I can do everything. there's a few things. My role with Greater Sacramento with Barry is, you know, as Barry is definitely a shiny object guy,
okay. But
he's a visionary. So he's out really looking at best practices nationally and figuring out how we can top that, and thinking about the assets in the community and how we develop that and really change and influence the economy in dramatic ways. I will be working with the team operationally to make sure that everything is humming along and we're a best practices organization. I can tell you, coming in and just in a week and a half, seeing how hard this team is working and the type of talent we have on board is, Greater Sac is hitting above its weight class when I've seen other economic development organizations. So kudos to the community, because that doesn't help work without community involvement and all of our supporters and partners. However, if you're not innovating in economic development, you're dying. So us always considering what's next and pushing the envelope in terms of ideas and really thinking about what Sacramento needs to be a national player.
So you parachute into to the hometown we love here in Sacramento. Are you married, single, kids?
I have myself and a really amazing English bulldog named Sophie.
Single and ready to mingle in a new town.
There you go.
Okay,
this is my advertisement, I swear.
we're parachuting in Danielle Casey.
I don't have time for that, though.
We've got laughter in the audience. background there. This is not staged laughter. So you parachute into town here. I'm wondering, like, what emote you're into this sleepy government town, parachuting in from a big city like Phoenix, right? Mm-hmm. You walk in. What's the emotion as you parachute in alone?
With your
dog, I'm sorry.
Well, because of Sophie, and she's a large English bulldog, so I'm not afraid. Yeah. But no, I've located myself right in the middle of Midtown,
nice.
So I can be close to the Greater Sacramento offices for obvious reasons, because I'm spending a lot of time there, surprisingly. And also really getting a sense of, you know, the community and the vibe. And I'll tell you what, it's wonderful. I've you know, through economic development travels, you know, I've spent time in pretty much every major metro in the country, and it is very exciting. I don't think anyone, again, from outside of this region realizes what's going on. And also, I'm looking forward to seeing all of our communities in the region, because they all have something really amazing and special going on. And they're doing some innovative things. You know, Elk Grove just recently passed a forgivable loan program that I think that model is going to be game-changing for them and other
forgivable
communities.
Loan? I've never heard of anything like that before.
Yeah.
That sounds like someone giving money, right? Like a grant?
Right. And it was just at their city council meeting last week with approval. So definitely I would advise folks to keep an eye on that.
Going to get into that story. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for, first of all, welcome to Sacramento. Welcome to our hometown. Anything I can do to help what you and Barry are doing over there at GSAC, you know how to get a hold of me. Thank you. And hopefully this is the beginning of great things for you here in Sacramento.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'd love to come back soon.
Love it. Don't change the station, because after the break, guess who we're bringing on? Mr. Ethan Wilson, president of Western Grinding Services. He's also a national champion in go-karting, and he is, guess what, folks? He's my new next-door neighbor. I am the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
We are back with your entrepreneurial weekend wake-up call. It's Mark Haney time. And welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Every one of us has something special inside. And Mark Haney has a knack for helping us see the greatness we have inside. He is the entrepreneur next door. And this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to The Mark Haney Show. I'm Mark Haney. And today I am here with Ethan Wilson, president of Grinding Services. He's a race car driver, and guess what? He is my entrepreneur next door. How you doing, Ethan?
Hey, I'm doing great, Mark. How about yourself today?
I am doing great. I'm okay. So you and I recently met. Kind of ironically, I'm driving down the road. I had already met your wife online, which is weird. And then you and I, I run into each other as I'm driving out, and I'm like, "Hey, you're my new next door neighbor, but you're also a successful entrepreneur."
Hey, Mark. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah. It's really neat that we moved up here to Loomis. We're really pleased to be up in this area. Turned out my wife, she's really into VC and entrepreneurialism. And through a mutual friend, you guys made connection on Facebook. And then turned out there you were right next door to us. We couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I met you as you guys are still unpacking at this point. But you guys have both had tremendous success. But let's talk about you, Ethan. Let's talk about your business. And then I also want to know why Sacramento?
Okay, yeah, I can tell you a little bit about Western Grinding Services. My engineering manufacturing company. We do precision machining for life science technology industries, super precision manufacturing, lathes, mills, screw machines, grinding, all made here in America. We make a lot of the life science and surgical devices that help do blood development and disease cures and heart surgeries, and it's just really been a great, great business.
Do you make them for yourself to resell, or are you making them for other people to resell under their brand?
Yeah, we take take on contract work from major OEM manufacturers. They have blueprints and requirements, and we review those requirements and produce what they want in regular volume and annual contracts.
Well, let's talk about the history of that business. How did it start, and what happened to get it to where it is today?
Mark, it's interesting you ask about that. We're celebrating 65 years in business.
Wow. Western Grinding Service. How old are you? You're not 65
years
old.
No, I'm definitely not 65.
You're a young man.
Yeah, I am still a young man. I'm actually third generation family owner of Western Grinding Service. My grandfather started it, one job, one operation, and he grew it to himself. My father came in and took over from him, and about 6 years ago, I bought my father out, and I've turned Western Grinding into my business.
Wow. So talk to us about the size of the business. Where's it going? Because it's in the Bay Area, if I'm not mistaken, but you've relocated to Sacramento. Okay, so where's the business going, and then how'd you get to Sacramento?
Yeah, so our business there in Santa Clara, right there in the heart of Silicon Valley, we relocated there about 6 years ago. It's great. We're about 16,000 square feet. We got 30 people on two shifts, 6 days a week. Real busy right now.
Wow. So you can run it from, you know, a couple hundred miles away.
Yeah, I'm really fortunate. I've assembled a great team of people. Mark, you had mentioned how, you know, your way in succeeding in business and being a successful entrepreneur is to surround yourself with great people and give them good guidance about what the result you're looking for is, and then let them put their efforts to work. That really empowers people to make a contribution they feel proud of. The job gets done, and it allows me to be more creatively thinking about business and not have to be there every day.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We always talk on the show that there's battles in entrepreneurship. There's battles in life. I mean, nobody goes through life undefeated. And I'm wondering from you, what and those times where you really fall down are times where you can learn. You know, can talk to us about any time where you may have failed or you may have had a major setback and how it caused you to regroup.
Yeah, in my last event, two races ago at Mid-Ohio, we were poised. I was running right up in the top 10. I'm right in the top six in the overall points. During qualifying, we had an engine failure. I had to go to the backup car. That car failed on track. It was really depressing. I had to come back and regroup, lost a lot of points. But I realized, hey, in any endeavor that you try to achieve and succeed at, there's going to be those low points, and you have to recognize that going in. It was kind of a struggle at first because I was kind of down about it for a week, and we had a race 2 weeks later, and I realized if I just didn't accept that in any challenge you take on that there are going to be those low points, you have to accept from, learn from. We said, hey, what was wrong with the engine? What are we going to fix? What failed on the other car? How can we prevent future occurrences? And you take those failures as an opportunity to improve. You put that in your bag of tricks, and then typically you won't have those failures again. You have to just get right, dust yourself off, get right back up, and go back at it. And we had top 10 finish the very next week.
Nice. Well, let's talk about how you chose Loomis, Sacramento, right? Well, your kids, I know you guys are ski buffs. So you like to go up Highway 50 and do some skiing. How did you end up at Loomis, California?
It's an amazing story. You know, I've born and raised in the Bay Area, and I've lived in Silicon Valley for the last 25 years of my life. And, you know, it's a great area. It's a beautiful city. We really enjoyed it there. But I was kind of looking for more. We go to Tahoe all the time, both my kids on the ski team. I really enjoy some of my happy places up on the mountain and the snow and the trees. It's super quiet there to get away from all the stress of work and things. And we're driving up and down 80, driving up and down 80, you know, 4 hours up, 4 hours back. We said, you know, honey, why am I in the Bay Area? Why are we here? Could we have a better life somewhere else where we could be closer to what we believe in and what helps provide our purpose, our children, our family? So we did some research. We looked around. Amazing home values up here in Sacramento Valley, Loomis, Granite Bay, right by the lake, an hour from the mountains. Amazing school district and an entire entrepreneurial society that is just really exciting for both my wife and I. So we're just really pleased. You know, I was telling my, telling people we were moving. I told my mom, she says, oh, son, of all the things you do, the thing that amazes me the most is the courage you have to take on these challenges.
Yeah.
And so it's really exciting.
Moving the whole family.
Moving the whole family. And we found, I got to tell you, an amazing home right here in Loomis. The home value compared to the Bay Area, it's ridiculous, folks. If you're in the Bay Area in Silicon Valley, I highly recommend it. I kind of want to keep it a secret. This is a beautiful place to be.
Wow. This guy should be working for GSAC. GSAC is this economic development people that help recruit people to this hometown that we love. And in some ways, we are a secret. We are thought of as that government, sleepy government, maybe Cowtown even. And really, that's okay. I mean, I think the people are what make a community. community. And I feel like that our neighborhood's basically all entrepreneurial. It's a cool neighborhood that we live in.
It really is. People have been really welcoming and friendly everywhere from right in the neighborhood where we live in Loomis. But everything right from all the stores, you go to the store, people are happy. You know, there's just a lower density of people and you really notice it right away. I was in the Bay Area yesterday. Every light is full. Every parking lot is full. There's all the traffic. You got to hit all the timing up here. It's amazing. Just more of a country feel, yet all the value is here, all the things that you would want. And it's interesting. People just don't know about it and don't know that it's here.
Yeah, you know, we've been joking a little bit about me being the entrepreneur next door, my next door neighbor. On the other side, Tom Kandris had a very successful company, Package One, ended up selling that with his with all his businesses. But, you know, I named him the entrepreneur next door. Now I've sort of stolen that back. So he and I have this sort of internal struggle. Who owns that name? Now we've got you in the mix too. You're kind of the entrepreneur next door. How are we going to wrestle each other for that title?
You know what, Mark? I'm going to go ahead and give it to you because I'm up here a lot for lifestyle. The entrepreneurialism and the business that I do, it really is what I've discovered in the success in the business that I've had is, you know, the financial results have been great. But having the free time to enjoy my life and make life the experience I always want to, you know, racing Trans Am was a dream when I was a kid, when I was 15 years old. The home that I bought last month is, I imagined that home when I was a young man, and just making those dreams come true and that entrepreneurial spirit has made that possible. But I'm going to go ahead and let you take the title. I'll just be your buddy next door. How's that sound?
Ethan,
all right,
Wilson, my buddy next door. When we return, I will be joined by Michael Wagner, the co-founder of Marquee Media. I am the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to your entrepreneurial wake-up call. Mark Haney is living proof that nobody goes through life undefeated. His failures have defined his philosophies. His successes have defined his mantras. And through his stories, we are awakened to our own true potential. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to The Mark Haney Show. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Michael Wagner, the co-founder of Marquee Media. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
So who is Michael Wagner?
That's too easy. I'm a local proud resident of this greater Sacramento community. I'll tell you that much. I feel very blessed to have come here. Came because of UC Davis, great education, and was really blown away. Didn't know Sacramento, even though I'd have visited many times, had some family in the area. And I even left shortly for a brief time after college. And what I found is just coming back here, like, this is a community where you can make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too big where you can't carve your own way and be successful. And it's not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's about one. And I really found that it's perfect. It's been a great community to raise my family in, and great education, great school systems, great climate, close to a lot of things. And I love to call it home. Very proud. Yeah.
Let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey. Okay, so you're going to UC Davis. What happens after college? Were you an entrepreneur prior to that?
I was an entrepreneur with Legos ever since I was born.
Right. It's in the genes.
It's in the genes. And so my grandfather was an entrepreneur, and he was my hero. And it's interesting. He was an LAPD officer, made my grandmother, you know, very proud. That's how he met my grandmother. And then when he got his pension, he always loved to tinker, and he ended up starting this business that was based on his roots. And actually, he was a proud founding member of Gridley community not too far from here. And he ended up tinkering and, you know, raised chickens, and chickens, when they get too hot, they turn cannibalistic and start fighting each other.
Oh, wow.
And so he developed this mister that would keep them cool. And next thing you know, it ended up being launched in greenhouses all across the country and world.
Wow.
And made my family's life very successful.
Wow. So what an inspiration. Now, what was your relationship like with your grandfather?
So very close. Again, that's where it gets into Legos. And so basically, when I would build my Lego go-karts or whatever, I always had this dream with him that one day he and I would make a go-kart. Unfortunately, he he left a little too soon for that, but it always kind of stuck with me and always gave me that that little tweak of I wanted to be like him. I wanted to tinker. If he could build it and him showing me that at a young age, you know, obscure business of things that you would never even think of, it was always in the back of my mind of why can't I?
Yeah. If your grandpa was here right now, what do you think it'd say about the success that you have had?
I would say definitely I would think that what makes my family special is how we define success. Success isn't money. Success isn't the house that you live in. Success is really the relationships that you build, who you surround yourself with, and hopefully the altruistic impact that you could have on the community that you're in as well.
Wow. Well, you're definitely having that kind of impact on me personally. You've got the marquee media billboards all over town. I know you're even going beyond the Sacramento region. Let's talk a little bit about your business, Michael.
Okay. Stumbled into it, actually. You kind of asked me, how did I get into this business? So went to UC Davis, history and econ. You know, it doesn't exactly translate to what I'm doing now, other than just the general business knowledge. I always loved history because it's, in a sense, debate, right? I was going to do English, but with history, in a sense, you're crafting an argument and then you're supporting it. And instead of using your own opinion, you use others. So who could argue with Abe Lincoln? Who could argue with that? And so by referencing historical people or primary resources, I found that it's the best way of kind of winning over your argument, winning over whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Okay.
So after that, I ended up meeting my wife and in an incredible, successful woman raising two kids all on her own at the time. And she and I both were in the retail world and very much entrepreneur. It's as if you're running your own business, except on somebody else's dime. And I decided because of that, I felt that it ran its course, and I decided to try something new, and I ended up getting into home builder signs, building those wood structures there on the side of the road, connecting you from the freeway to the development. And fast forward 20 years, I'm now building digital signs on the side of freeways.
Wow,
great
incredible
technology, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's been game-changing, I think, for our enterprise here. Talk to us about how many of these signs you got going, and what's the future look like for Marquee Media?
Well, the future for Marquee Media is great. I mean, I think what people have appreciated is they like working with good people. They like people that are able to be nimble and quick. While we're a boutique company, we think that we could do things, you know, better than most as a result, or we hold ourselves to extremely high standards. We have an incredible team of people. That same thing, we hold to incredibly high standards, and they constantly blow us away with what they're able to deliver. Some of the pictures and quality and just the little things from, you know, the follow-ups in a timely manner, working at all hours of the day, not necessarily just 8 to 5, even by our employees, I think is stunning. And it's really one of our clients. And I think when people start working with us, they're pleased and they want to work with us more.
Well, let's talk about your team a little bit. I know one of your teammates, your business partner, Jeff Joaquin. Talk to us about that relationship and how do you guys divide up what you're going to do all the time?
So Jeff and I, it's honestly a perfect match. You know, it's funny. We were at this one Crocker event, and I'm introducing him. I'm like, hey, this is Jeff Joaquin. He's my partner. And he was like, can you please add business to that? You know, but in many ways.
Just not confuse anybody here.
But in many ways.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, right. Very, yeah. You know, but in many ways, we are married. Great hair, by the way. Great hair. But what makes us work so well is we're very yin and yang. I mean, when you're in business, you have to kind of have faith in your partner that you may not even always understand the ins and outs of what they do, and they may not understand the ins and outs of what you do, but together, if that path works well and there's that harmony, that yin and yang, then you guys will be dominant. And I found that it honestly was magic. I'm very, very pleased.
Lucky to have a great business partner. I can relate to that personally. We were talking at the beginning of the show about these dotted lines to our purpose, where I have this shiny object kind of syndrome, where I like to chase a lot of different things, start a lot of different businesses, think I can do everything, be everything to everybody, but it's not true. Focus always helps me. So do you have that shiny object syndrome? And, you know, how do you tie your actions back to your purpose?
You know, yeah, shiny object. I always try to me, it's almost like perspective. And actually, it was great at that Your Entrepreneurs Unleashed event the other night. And, you know, the gentleman from Del Monte Foods was talking about how, you know, he's very driven, working a company up, you know, very, very successful company, obviously financially very successful. And fast forward to now that he's sold that company and is evaluating his life, it's one of the things that you can't get back is taking your son to those little league games, having those quality family vacations, and all that. And so I think purpose and perspective and what are you doing this for is key. And so it can't always be about just, oh, I want to make a dollar or I want to buy the bigger house or the nicer car. It has to be how are you being that good role model to your kids? How are you engaged in your kids' lives? And I think that's been something that, especially over the last 4 years, both my wife and I have really focused on that and trying to get more of that balance. In fact, when Marquee Media started, one of the great motivating factors for taking that risk and jumping, you know, into the deep end from the safety net of a salary and good pay is that light at the end of the tunnel. And for us, mm-hmm. it was the balance of that business and purpose.
Ah, well, you're talking about John DiBenedetti, a good buddy of mine. And one of the things that he said as well is, and I think this tied to his purpose, is that the first thing he splurged on after selling his company for a nice amount of money, he donated some money to his high school. And I thought, wow, that, you know, it touched me thinking of that people care so much about their community, remembering, you know, the place where they were raised and going back and helping support some of that stuff. So, Michael, just thinking about you and Marquee and where you're going from here and maybe a little bit of closing thoughts about how entrepreneurs ought to think about chasing their dreams.
I would definitely say that the balance and your definition of success. I mean, entrepreneurs, one of the things that you will find is that you can never really shut it off. I mean, you're going to be working 24/7. You're either going to be up at night sleeping, having the stress, having the good times and the riches of your risks. But then as well, if you don't take the time to really enjoy everything around you and making that mark, because that's what's going to translate on and lead into it. And again, in this particular community, one of the things I find amazing is the whole big day giving every year that they've been doing now for about 7 years with the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation. People don't even realize that over $7 million last year was raised on one day supporting nonprofits in this community. And there's over 600 nonprofits that entered that, well over that actually, that didn't even participate. And I would encourage people to not just focus on the money success, but how could they really make an impact in the community that we're all enjoying and being blessed by, and finding that cause that you're passionate about. If you don't mind, I'd like to plug one, for example. There is an organization that I'm blessed to be a part of called Keaton's Child Cancer Alliance, yes. Formerly Keaton Raphael Memorial, and a local organization started by a local family that unfortunately lost their son, Keaton, to child cancer about 21 years ago. And here's an organization still around 21 years later, and the only thing that's preventing it from helping more kids that are diagnosed with childhood cancer is just the resources of the community that we provide. The reason why we did the rebranding and changed the word from Keaton's Raphael Memorial to Keaton's Child Cancer Alliance is because that sums it up exactly right there. It's an alliance. It's an alliance of businesses, entrepreneurs, individuals, hospitals, banks from Wells Fargo, Rabobank, all these people to car repair, to Bell Brothers Heating and Air, who's helping, you know, with these families in need as they're dealing with hopefully something that we never have to deal with in our own lives. And there's a bunch like that. I would highly encourage somebody getting behind a cause and figuring out how they could really make a difference that's going to live way beyond their business, their entrepreneur, their success, their house.
Wow. Michael Wagoner, Marquee Media. I want to be like Mike. I think there should be a saying like that. Anyway, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I look forward to supporting you on the Keaton's Childhood Cancer effort. And anyway, stick around, because after the break, me and Marcus are going to share our takeaways, our closing thoughts about purpose and how to keep it front of mind. This is the Mark Haney Show.
So we hope, here we go, American dreaming.
We are back with Mark Haney, the man whose mission statement is tattooed to his soul. With future generations in mind, he will create opportunity for his family, for his friends, and for his community. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
The meaning of life is to find your gifts. The purpose of life is to give it away. Marcus Haney, the marine entrepreneur. You know who said that originally?
No. Yeah, I'm touched, though.
You didn't check your notes. It was Pablo Picasso, right? Oh. But, you know, some of these great thoughts, they stand the test of time. And I think understanding what this world is all about, it starts with looking inward, right? So I think we can learn as much looking through a microscope at ourselves as we can looking out there with the telescope. But how do we connect that microscope to that telescope? That's that dotted line. That's what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, a little heaven and earth a little bit, right? Yeah. And I think that you have to look at things in a perspective of, does this make me happy and am I fulfilling my purpose, like Michael said, right? And if you can say that with confidence and you look in the mirror and can say that with confidence, then I think you're doing the right thing in your own life and leaving this place better than you found it.
Yep, great show today, and I think we found out that some people are from outside the area are attracted to Sacramento.
Holy cow.
Right, yeah, Ethan and Danielle, they are here, they're newbies, but we are welcoming them in with open arms. But it makes me think about my purpose, right? I have more than one. I got a lot. It's the shiny object story, but you know what? I try to keep those purposes in my life. If I think about my why and I keep it in my life, it makes it so much more, able to stay focused. So how about you, Marcus? How do you avoid that? Let's touch back with you and your shiny object syndrome and your purpose.
Yeah, you know, ties back to the battle for veterans for me at the end of the day, serving with some of the world's greatest human beings, having my back during the tough times, getting me off the battlefield in one piece. I want to do my part to help change an underserved community that I think gets overlooked a little bit within this world, and you know, also my family, right? Yeah. So, and we have this family mantra, you know, creating opportunity for our family, friends, and community, and as they succeed, we succeed. And you created that, and I've really taken that on as my mantra a little bit too. So, I think as we move forward, then that's a good way to be.
And sometimes those philosophies or those whys or those things that start with the way we think, I suppose, they don't start by all great things happening to you. Sometimes it's tragic things or scary things that that cause us to sort of rethink where we're going. You know, you taking one for the team in Afghanistan, right? That changed our whole family's philosophy on how we felt toward the men and women that are fighting for our country. But also thinking back to my business career, I think this happens to all of us. You know, after selling our companies, we integrated these companies and really successful. On track for my billion-dollar dream. We had put this $400 million set of companies together. And then after the integration was over, I wasn't needed anymore. I realized, oh, shoot, I'm no longer a significant player. Even as president of the company, I'm not the guy that's going to take this thing to that $1 billion. And so I left the company, and for the first time in my life, I'm unemployed.
Huh.
And I think that crazy feeling of, wow, I've always had my own business. Now my baby is in somebody else's hands, and I was left there kind of not knowing what to do. And I think that's when I really had that moment of writing the mission statement and the personal purpose statement and so on. And now I have, I like to say, they're tattooed to my soul, where a lot of people just see their mission and their purpose as just words on the wall, kind of like wetting your pants, right? Yeah, it feels nice and warm, but it doesn't really do anything, right? So for me, mine is everything to me. And I think that that's what this show is about. That's what everything we do here at Haney Biz is all about, right? My vision of having these, igniting an entrepreneurial revolution, letting everybody know that entrepreneurship, it's not for everybody, but boy, if you embrace it, it can be the time of your life. And also trying to help entrepreneurs be entrepreneurs, right? With my business partners and all the services that we're providing here for other entrepreneurs to help them be entrepreneurs, and the backyard barbecue with my 100 millionaire business partners,
yeah, talk
and my
about that for
throwing
a sec.
My great grandkids batting practice in the backyard. These are my deep visions, right? If I can't sleep at night, right, I'm like, okay, I need to get some sleep. I got all these things wrestling around my mind, the shiny object syndrome. It's like, how do I get myself to sleep? Well, funny, I think about the, I close my eyes, and if you're driving down the road right now, close your eyes for a second. Or no, excuse me. Don't close your eyes. Have somebody grab the wheel. And, you know, but what I do before I'm going to bed at night, I'll think about this vision of I'm up on stage talking to this group of people sitting around in these tables in my backyard. And it looks like an awards banquet. And I look out into the audience as we're celebrating victories, and I look around, and it's all my business partners. It's all the people in my life that I love that have helped me to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution, that have built success for themselves, that have created opportunity for themselves. And here I am, just this little part of that, helping recognize the success that people are having. And I think Michael Wagner touched on it at the beginning. It's not all about the money. It's about the impact that we make. So just thinking about that, you know, I would encourage all of us to think about our purpose. For me, I create routines that remind me of my purpose. Every week before the show, Marcus, you know that I listen to music right before the show. I listen to How Do You Do, which is a song that reminds me of your mother, right? Because she stands by me when I'm not sure of what I want to do. Then I play Stuck in the Middle with You, and it makes me think about my old baseball coach and some of my friends in this hometown that we love. And then I think about, I hear the song, Have You Ever Seen the Rain, right? That's that one by Creedence, right? And it makes me think of you fighting in Afghanistan. That song always seemed to come on while you were overseas. And then and I play that song, Don't Blink. It's about a 100-year-old man looking back at his life, and he's got the words of wisdom, don't blink. For me, it probably should have been don't drink. But it makes me think about what's important to me, the overarching purpose, the legacy, what we want to leave behind. So makes me think about those stripes are red for a reason, Marcus, right? Those stripes remind me of you. If I look around my office, I think about the people in my life that I care about. And you know what? I hope that everybody out there listening has that same sort of purpose. They find their gifts and they're able to tie it all together in some way. So Sacramento salute to the leaders of hometown patriotism, to all those bringing these incredible teams together and converging here on Sacramento to grow their businesses, to those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, our way of life, the 13 stripes and the 50 stars, and that one big why that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.